Baptist to our meeting tonight by singing together the hymn number 170. 170, 170, the page 246. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the pilgrim way, for the hand of God in all my life I see, and the reason of my bliss, yes, the secret all is this, that the Comforter abides with me. A wonderful hymn reminding us of the great truth of the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, dwelling in our hearts as the Lord's people, and indeed that seal of our belonging unto Christ. 170, standing as we sing and singing it out with all of our hearts. Just unite our hearts together, please, in prayer. Let us all pray. Our loving God, our gracious, eternal Father in heaven, we gather, Lord, before Thee this evening hour, and we come in the worthy and precious name of Thy beloved and only begotten Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. And Father, we thank Thee tonight for the great message of the Gospel. Behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. And Father, we thank Thee that Christ bore our sins in His own body to the tree. We thank Thee that He became our substitute, that He died for us an atoning death. He suffered, He bled and died. And Father, we thank Thee that on the cross He cried out, "It is finished." And Father, we thank Thee that He made a full and a complete atonement for our sins. And Father, we thank Thee that He rose again, O God, thy word declares that he was delivered for our offences and raised again for our justification. And Father, we thank thee tonight as thy people for our standing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank thee for redemption ground. We thank thee, O God, that it is the ground of pardon, the ground of peace, the ground of hope, and the ground of blessing. And Father, we thank thee even for the words of this hymn of which we've been singing. We thank thee for the Comforter, the Holy Spirit who abides within, that Lord, promised gift to the people of God. And Father, we thank thee that thou hast promised thy people that thou wilt be with thy people throughout all of life's journey. O God, our Savior could say, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And O God, as we come before thee this evening hour, we just pray for the blessing of God upon our coming together. We thank thee, O God, for each one who have been able to gather with us this evening. Lord, our faces differ, and so do our needs. Yet, Lord, we thank that we're coming to one tonight who is able to meet us at the very point of our need. Lord, we pray for thy blessing upon every waiting heart. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt encourage and bless and build up thy people tonight in their most holy faith. Lord, strengthen us with might by thy Spirit in the inner man. And even as we wait before thee around thy word and around the throne of grace and prayer, Father, we pray we might know that fresh quickening, that fresh reviving that comes from the Lord. Do cleanse our hearts afresh in the precious blood of the Lamb. And Lord, make us every whit whole, O God, we ask of thee. And Lord, just bless us tonight around thy word and around the throne of grace and prayer. Bless every home, family, Lord, represented. Meet the need of all our homes and our families and our family circles. Unite each family circle in the Lord. Remember, O God, needs particularly regarding sickness and illness. We pray that thou wilt give help. Thou wilt give strength, O God, we pray. And Lord, we're mindful of those that cannot join with us tonight because of age, sickness, and infirmity. Lord, may they know the blessing of the Lord being their portion. We pray for others tonight, maybe, who are away on holiday. May they know thy reviving and refreshing touch physically and spiritually at this time, and others that cannot be here because of works of necessity and mercy. We pray that thou wilt bless them also and minister to them by the grace of God divine. Again, Lord, we're mindful of those that have suffered loss in recent times. Do comfort their hearts, we pray. And Lord, may thy strength be their portion day by day, we ask. Father, we do pray for this town, this community, this area. Lord, we pray that thou wilt have mercy upon it. And Father, we pray that it might know a gracious visitation of God, even as in former times, O Lord, we pray. And Father, we think of the forthcoming convention meetings. We thank thee for this taking place in thy will next week. We thank thee, Lord, for those that are able to come to minister thy word. And Father, we pray that there'll be times of blessing night by night around thy word, and that many will come to hear thy word and thy truth with that eager heart of what God the Lord will say. Father, bless other prayer meetings tonight, O God, we ask. Remember gospel missions and ministry meetings and outreach meetings. We think of children's Bible clubs on at this time and children's camps as well, Lord. Wherever thy word is faithfully sounded forth to young and to old alike, Lord, bless it. And even at this time of the year, may there be many who will come to know and trust the Lord as Savior. Bless us now, we pray. Shelter our meeting over and around with the precious blood of the Lamb. And Lord, may we go home tonight rejoicing afresh that we've met with God, that we've known the touch of God in our hearts and in our souls. For we ask it all for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen. I'm going to turn again, please, in our hymn book to hymn number 542, 542, in the page 395. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He's tramping out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He have loosed the fateful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. 542, we'll stand again as we sing, and let us sing it out with all of our hearts, this great old hymn. Turn tonight, please, in God's Word to John's Gospel, chapter number 15. John's Gospel, chapter 15, beginning a reading at the verse 1 of the chapter, just going down to the end of the verse number 17. While you're looking that passage up, we welcome you all tonight in the Lord's great name. It's good to see all who've been able to gather tonight. Pray the Lord will bless you around God's Word and around the throne of grace and prayer. Remember the meetings over the weekend. Convention meetings commence on the Lord's Day morning at 12 noon. The preacher in the morning, Dr. Douglas, and then the evening service. Do note the change of time will not be 7, well, you can come early for 7 if you want, but it'll be at 8 o'clock, and the preacher at night is the Reverend Ian Gallagher, and our sister Amanda Reed also will be singing. So pray for the convention meetings. All the meetings will be preceded by the hour of prayer. Encourage you to come along to the time of prayer as well beforehand and make the meetings known. And as we've said, take time daily, even over this week, to pray for the meetings. Set aside that time and pray and do all you can to invite people in. There's plenty of wee invite cards there on the table in the porch. Encourage you to take those, give them out, to saved and unsaved alike, and seek to gather folk at this time in under the sound of God's precious and holy word. John's Gospel, chapter 15, and the verse number 1 of the chapter. Let us hear God's word as we read it together this evening. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. And if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. And as the Father have loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another, as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. Amen. Ending a reading there at verse 17. We know that the Lord will add his own blessing to the public reading of his eternal and infallible word to all our hearts. A little text of scripture I want us just to look at briefly tonight. Those opening three words of verse number 4 of John's Gospel, chapter 15, where Christ here is speaking, and he says, abide in me, abide in me. Our text here this evening is part of the Lord's farewell ministry to his own disciples before his crucifixion. And in this chapter here before us, the Lord uses the parable of the vine and the branches to show that eternal union that exists between Christ and his people. And he also uses this same parable to show the importance of the Lord's people abiding in Christ so that their lives can be fruitful for God. And you see that especially borne out there in verses 4 and 5 of the chapter. The Lord Jesus says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of it itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. Now the Lord Jesus Christ was soon to die, he was soon to leave his disciples. And no doubt the hearts of the disciples were filled with fear and with sorrow and with concern. Therefore, to encourage them to go on following Christ, to encourage them to go on serving Christ, the Lord reminds them here of the importance of them abiding in himself. Indeed, this was vital for their lives, indeed for their ministry, to be fruitful for God in the days that were to follow. And like fashion, believer, also, if you and I are to be fruitful for God and our own Christian life, and we too, as believers, must be those who abide in Christ. Our text here this evening says, abide in me. And as we think just upon these words briefly tonight, There are three things I just want to set before you. First of all, notice here the meaning of abiding in Christ. By these words, abide in me, the Lord was telling his disciples of their need to have a close relationship with himself. Indeed, this is what it means, believer, for you and I also to abide in Christ. Yes, in this ungodly world, as God's people, as God's children, we are to stay close to the Savior. We're to stay close to the Lord. In verse 5 there of the chapter, the Lord Jesus says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. And here the vine and the branches, they are united together as one. The branch is connected to the vine, to the stem, or if you like, the trunk of the vine. And again, the thought here is of us maintaining a close relationship with the Lord throughout our Christian life. This means us, yes, as believers, receiving strength from the Lord, receiving life and vitality from the Lord. It means us, yes, as Christians, living in communion with the Lord. It means us, yes, as God's people, walking with God here on earth, here on this scene of time. And remember, this was the testimony of Enoch and the testimony of Noah before the flood, and they lived in very ungodly days. Days when there was a great opposition to God and the things of God, yet the Bible tells us they walked with God. Genesis 5, verse 24, it says, and Enoch walked with God. Genesis 6, verse 9, it says there, and Noah walked with God. And brethren and sisters in Christ, that's what it means for us also to abide in Christ, to keep close to the Lord, to walk with God. Indeed, this desire for a close walk with God was the burden of the hymn writer. For she said, draw me near, near, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. The burden of her heart was a close walk with the Lord. Indeed, it has been said that no one who lives near to the Lord lives in vain. And child of God, can I say to you tonight, this is how the Lord wants you and I to live as Christians. Indeed, this is his will for each of our lives. For our text here really in John 15 verse 4, it's really a command when the Lord says here to us, abide in me. It's a command for our lives as Christians, and it's a command that we're not to neglect. You'll notice there at the end of verse number 5 of the chapter how Christ says, for without me ye can do nothing. And the truth and the implication of those words is this: if we are to leave a mark for God in this world, in this scene of time, then we must abide in Christ. If the disciples were to leave a mark for God after Christ was crucified and taken into heaven, they too must abide in Christ. And the same applies to you and I, indeed to the church of Christ today. Yes, we see here the meaning of abiding in Christ. It means a close walk with God. But then secondly, I want you to consider with me the way to abiding in Christ. You look again at verse 4, what it says. It says, abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. And in these words, there's a thought here of dependence upon Christ. If we are to maintain a close walk with God, there must be that dependence upon Christ. Not only is there a thought here of dependence upon Christ, but being yielded to the will of God, being yielded to God's will for our lives. And that's how it was with the Apostle Paul. Paul was a man who walked with God. But he was a man who depended upon Christ. He was a man whose life was yielded to the Lord. Remember what he said to the church of the Philippians. He's speaking of the Lord. He says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. He depended upon the Lord, and he never got away from that anchor in his Christian life. Remember his remarks at the time of his conversion on the road to Damascus. He says, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? His will, his heart, his life was surrendered to God. And that was the mark of his Christian life.
Indeed, he could say later on, to me to live is Christ. And dear people, that's how you and I also abide in Christ and stay close to the Lord. It is by us depending upon the Lord day by day as Christians, depending on the Lord for his help, his power, his grace in our lives, in our service for God, in our circumstances, situations that come our way. It also means us being yielded to God's will, surrendered to God's will for our lives. As the hymn writer says, I surrender all. By our lives as Christians, our wills as Christians, are to be surrendered to the will of God. Yes, the way to abide in Christ means to depend upon him, to yield to his will. We can say further also to abide in Christ and to maintain this close walk with God. It means also for us as Christians to feed our souls on the word of God and to obey the word of God in our lives. Note the words of Christ here in particular in this chapter. Look at what he says there in verse number 7, the beginning of that verse. He says, if ye abide in me, and notice it, and my words abide in you. That speaks of the scriptures, the truth of God, abiding, ruling, reigning in the disciples' hearts. Look again at verse 10 of the chapter. He says, if ye keep my commandments. Again, the reference is to obeying the word of God. Again, look at verse 14 of the chapter. He says, ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. You speak of a friend, you think of someone who is close to you. And those who are close to Christ, those who walk with the Lord, who abide in the Lord, are those who obey his word, who do whatsoever the Lord commands them. Did you remember the words of Mary at the first miracle of Christ, at the wedding of Cana of Galilee? What was the message of Mary to those who were gathered regarding the Lord? Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. In other words, obey the word of God. And likewise, if you and I as Christians are to abide in Christ, then God's word must have a preeminent place in our lives. That means us, yes, reading God's word, meditating upon it, and seeking to obey it, to live it out in our lives on a daily basis, day by day. The Lord says, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Indeed, it was C.H. Spurgeon who said, if you wish to know God, you must know his word. And one of the great purposes of God giving his word was to reveal himself unto us, to reveal Christ unto us, that we might get to know God and get to know Christ and be acquainted with him. My, if we are to abide in the Lord, to walk close with the Lord here on earth, then the word of God must have a place in our lives. You know, if we neglect God's word, then we'll not be able to abide in Christ as we should. Yes, the way, yes, to abiding in the Lord means dependence upon him, yielding to his will, obeying his word. But we can say further, to abide in Christ and to maintain that close walk with God, it also means prayer. It means prayer, seeking God. And again, notice the emphasis that Christ puts upon this in this passage of Scripture. Look there at verse number 7. Look at the latter part of the verse. It says, ye shall ask what you will. That speaks of prayer, speaks of seeking God, calling upon his name. Go down to the latter part of verse 16 of the chapter. Notice again what it says there. It says, whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father and my name. And again, that speaks of prayer. And you know, the wonderful thing that you notice this is you look at the earthly life of Christ and his ministry, particularly in the Gospels. He was ever encouraging his disciples to pray by word and deed, by his own example. What was he teaching the disciples? What was he teaching the church of Christ? The importance of prayer. God's people, of the disciples of the church of Christ, is to abide in Christ. And people, prayer is vital for us also if we are to abide in Christ. And prayer means you and I seeking God. setting aside the normal things of life to seek God, to get alone with God, to come, yes, to a prayer meeting such as this where we can set aside the normal hustle and bustle of life. It means us calling upon God and calling upon His name and bringing our needs, our concerns, our burdens, be they personal in our own private times of prayer, or be they things that concern the work of God that we bring to Him in the public place of prayer, or our nation, or land, whatever, or God's work at home and abroad. This is what we are to do if we are to abide in Christ. I was just listening yesterday evening to a testimony of an aged saint of God, one who was saved away back in the 1950s, saved a long time. And she was giving a word of testimony. She was speaking about prayer. How she said in her testimony how she loved to bring everything and anything to the Lord and prayer. And she had proved the Lord in the battles and trials of life through prayer. How important it is, dear people, that we pray. The mark of the apostles was prayer. They said, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer. Hymn writer says, prayer brings every blessing from above. And child of God, if you and I, yes, we are to abide in Christ. And as the Bible says, we must pray without ceasing. We must not give up in prayer and in seeking God. Yes, we see here the meaning of abiding in Christ, the way to abiding in Christ. Notice one final thought in connection with our text tonight. Notice the outcome of abiding in Christ. By speaking of those who abide in Christ, notice what the Lord says there in verse number 5 of the chapter. He says, the same bringeth forth much fruit. In other words, much spiritual fruit is the outcome of abiding in Christ. Over in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and verse 23, Paul says there, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, if you like, self-control. And people have thought there is this, the more we abide in Christ, then the more of this fruit will be seen and will be manifest and evident in our lives as Christians and as God's people. It's very interesting to note here in John chapter 15 that Christ Himself singles out the fruit of joy and the fruit of love in the life of God's people. Look at what He says in verses 10 and verse 11 of the chapter. He says, if ye keep My commandments, notice it, ye shall abide in My love, even as I have kept My Father's commandments and abide in His love. Then in verse 11 He says, these things have I spoken unto you, that My joy might remain in you, and that your joy, He says, might be full. That's one of the fruits, the outcomes, the outworking of abiding in Christ in our lives. Our hearts, our lives will be full of the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord will be our strength, even in the battles and the trials of life. And the Christian life is a battle. Battle that continues till we leave this world, leave this scene of time. Also, our lives will be full and overflowing with the love of Christ. As Paul himself could say, the love of Christ constraineth us. And then another blessing through abiding in Christ is power with God in prayer. Blessing in the place of prayer. You look again at what Christ says there in verse number 7 of the chapter. He says, if ye abide in Me, and My words abide in you, notice it, ye shall ask what ye will, and look at the promise, and it shall be done unto you. The promise of answered prayer, power in prayer. You have the same thought down in verse 16 at the end of that verse. He says, and whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in My name, notice it, He may give it you. The thought here is this, surely, as we abide in Christ, we will see answers to our prayers. We'll see blessing in prayer, power with God in prayer. Then there's one other final thought regarding the outcome of abiding in Christ, and it is simply this. Our life will be one that honors the Lord. Our life will be one that glorifies the Lord. For look at verse 8 of the chapter. Notice what Christ says.
He says, "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples." Oh, the blessing of abiding in Christ. And child of God, as the Lord speaks to your heart tonight, as he speaks to my heart tonight, in our situations of life that we find ourselves in the work of God, in our personal life, our home life, whatever situation that we find ourselves in tonight, his message is this: abide in me. Depend upon me. Rest upon me. Lean upon me. Stay close to me. Abide in my word. Seek my face in prayer. And walk with me day by day here on earth. May God bless his word and these truths to our hearts and our souls this evening. Before we get down to prayer, maybe we could just turn again in our hymn book to the hymn number 70. The hymn number 70 on the page 203 is a wonderful old hymn reminding us of the greatness of Christ. It says, "Immortal honors rest on Jesus' head, my God, my portion, and my living bread. In him I live, upon him cast my care. He saves from death, destruction, and despair." Hymn number 70, we'll stand as we sing, and thinking of the words as we sing them, and even may have been encouragement to us tonight as we come to pray and to seek the Lord. Hymn number 70, standing as we sing. Just get down to our season of prayer encourage as many as possible tonight to pray, to seek the Lord, to call upon his name. Remember the convention meetings especially. Pray that God will be honored and glorified in the preaching and the singing of God's praises. In every aspect of the meetings, pray that the Lord's servants would be endued with power from on high. They need the Lord's help. They need the Lord's power. Pray that even we as a congregation will uphold them day by day in prayer and do all we can to invite and encourage others in, and that folk will come in with hearts hungering and desirous to hear the word of God, and there will be a time of blessing and reviving. And that even through the convention meetings here, that God might further strengthen the work of God here in this corner of his vineyard. So pray to that end. Remember the outreach also next week at the show at Enniskillen. Our brother Colin and Keith are doing that. We're helping out as well. So pray for that. God's blessing would be upon it. Remember the children's mission as well. In a few weeks' time in Maguire's Bridge, be much in prayer for that. Remember our missionaries at home and abroad, the Let the Bible Speak ministry, our land. And remember the sick in your prayers as well. Bring them to the Lord in prayer. Remember Sister Deborah as well, as she continues with her treatment, and others that need a touch from the Lord at this time. We'll get down to prayer. Encourage as many as possible to pray one with another, young and old alike. Let us seek the Lord, and let there be no gaps. Let us pour out our hearts before the Lord in prayer this evening. Maybe ask our brother Ian to lead us off in prayer, and then also our brother Stanley, and then one after the other, then as the Lord would lead us in the time that remains. Our brother Ian, our brother Stanley, and then one other after the other as the Lord would lead us, please. Thank you.